Today we're talking about an unforgettable Christmas, because I think that's on everybody's mind. As it's December 3rd and December 25th is 3 weeks away. How am I going to make this year better than last year? Or how am I going to make this the best Christmas ever? Is there something I can do? Is there something I can know that would make this year unforgettable? Now, whatever you celebrate this month, you're going to be plagued by some common words. Some of you may get frustrated because it's like, I don't want to hear that same Christmas song again. Like, let's get something new onto the playlist. But you're going to hear some words and some common themes come up. If you're a Hallmark fan or a Lifetime fan, my wife and I, we try to watch a lot. Sometimes you lose when you put on a Hallmark movie. Sometimes you win. It's good. We were watching one a couple nights ago, and I was like, this is just not going anywhere fast. And I've been using the word antagonist a lot when I'm like looking at things. I'm like, damn, there's no antagonist. Like, there's no conflict. They're just falling in love. Like, there's not even another person for her to want. So sometimes it doesn't work out. But regardless what you're watching movies or listening to music, there's some words that are going to surface. You're going to hear words like joy, right? Joy to the world, right? Joy has come. Peace on earth. We just sang a song that had the word peace in it. You're going to hear the word hope a lot. You're going to hear phrases like goodwill towards men. And some of them we kind of resonate with, and we're like, that's a great concept. Love, hope, and peace, and goodwill. That all sounds good. But there's one word that I don't know if you're going to hear it in a Christmas song. I don't know if you're going to kind of hear it said in a movie that you're watching. You're probably not going to get a greeting card with this word on it if you do. Maybe your friend likes you a lot, so they want to be honest with you, or maybe they don't like you at all, so they picked out that card. But there's this one word that, despite you not seeing it or hearing it or seeing it unfold, I think it's a word that we all resonate with. I think it's a word that you know well, and Christmas has a way of making that word come more alive in us. And it's the word failure. Failure. Failing. Failing. Think about that. I don't think you've gotten a greeting card that said, you're a failure, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, right? I mean, if you did, like I said, someone may love you enough to tell you the truth, or they may hate you enough to send you that. But this word failure, it's not a word that comes up in songs. It's not a word that we see displayed on cards, or you didn't get a mug or an ornament with the word failure across it. But I got to believe that if you're like me, failing and failure, it's a word that we carry around with us. It's something that we actually do see more evident during the Christmas time. We just don't want to talk about it. We just don't want to acknowledge it because it hurts. If any of you could watch Food Network, Holiday Baking Championship fans, all right, a couple nods, awesome. If you know me, we're friends, or you've been coming here for any amount of Sundays, you know I always talk about ice cream. I love sugar. I think it's God's greatest creation. He was really thinking when he put sugar in the world. So I love sugar, and Holiday Baking Championship is amazing because, I mean, I'll eat what you're cooking, but to watch you do what you're able to do in that show, and they can take sugar and blow it up and make things, and it's glass and chocolate molding and cake, and you're getting hungry. I know. We have stuff in the back. But it's amazing. Now let me analyze it for a second, because the idea is this. If there's four people that enter the championship, one of them's going to win, one of them's going to succeed. I know we don't want to throw this word on them because they did it, but the reality is three of them failed. They had a goal, and they said, I'm going to win, I'm going to take home the prize, and three of them didn't. Now, if food's not your thing, maybe you're the Christmas light fight, right? That starts tomorrow, in case you're wondering. I'll be watching it. And you see all these houses that just kind of compete to decorate, and they have acres of property. And I mean, it's just tremendous what they're doing. But again, the concept's there. If there's four houses that enter this challenge, one will win, one will succeed, three will fail, three will not make it. And I know on the outgoing videos, it's like, I'm just thankful I was able to be here and do this. Yeah, we know you have to say that, but you're really angry and you want the camera out of your face right now. And I know we kind of have our culture that everyone's a winner. Look, I'm 28, so I've got a box of participation trophies at my parents' house. So I know everyone wins, no one loses. But the reality is, you know, that some people do win, some people do lose. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong. Sometimes you feel successful, sometimes you feel like you failed. And I think Christmas time has a way of reminding you of the mess. More so, I think more so than any other time out of the year. And there's some soft examples, like maybe you failed at buying a gift, right? Like, guys, you picked out the wrong size for her, and now she wants to know why you think she's fat. And it's like, it's not what I was thinking. I just thought that's what you were. And it's like, you failed buying that gift. You messed up. Or she said, I don't want anything, which really means I want that. And you're like, you said you didn't want anything. And so you just kind of failed there. Some of you have failed when it comes to cooking. You tried to play it off like it's supposed to have a smoky charcoal taste. And they're like, no, let's just order pizza. Like, so we've seen that, and that happens during the holidays. But I think truthfully, we all of us understand what failure feels like during Christmas time. See, for some of us in this space, especially if you're a parent, you may feel the weight of not being able to buy your kids the gifts that you want to buy them. Right? I have a 3.5-year-old, a 1.5-year-old, and I want to get them anything and everything. And if you're there, you may feel like, man, I just didn't succeed when it came to my career. I wish I got the job I wanted, not the job I had to settle for. And so as you see advertisements and you see other people able to buy things for you, it's a reminder of it didn't play out the way you thought. You failed. Some of you, it's not financial, it's relational. And Christmas has a way of reminding you of the broken relationships. I mean, this month is going to be hard for you. Because you're going to look around the table and there's going to be empty seats and there's going to be people who were there but they're not there because of maybe choices you made or choices that were made. And now you're thinking it's just another year where they're not going to call. It's been decades. It's just another year where they're not going to show up. Maybe if you experience tragedy this year, you're really going to feel the weight of that because this is the first Christmas where he's not there, she's not there. And well, how was that feeling? Well, depending on your relationship, you might have some regret over things that weren't said or were said and now can't be said. You might think that God failed because if God was real and if God was good, he should have been healed. She should have still been here. And so there is this idea of failure that comes up during this month. And no, you're not going to see it on a card. You're not going to see it on a mug. You won't sing about it. But I think we should talk about it because if you're taking this time right now, you know, man, it's there. Failure is there. It's part of the Christmas season. Excuse me. I was outside all night last night. My lips are cold and dry. So what do we do with that? What do we do with failure? Because you have regrets and I have regrets. And things aren't the way they should be. Maybe you've used this phrase before. Christmas would be better if. Christmas would be better if. Whatever your if is, that's pointing you to what you're looking for. Christmas would be better if I had a different job. Christmas would be better if we were still together. Christmas would be better if my kids came home. Christmas would be better if I could have kids. You see the theme of failure that's all of us in this space? So what do we do with that? Because if you're like me, we want to have an unforgettable Christmas. We want this year to be better than last year, but we're carrying some big failure. We're carrying some big regrets. So how is this year supposed to be unforgettable? How is this year supposed to be better than last year if we've got failure as part of our stories? And we all do. The problem with failure is this. It's not just that we're reminded by our failure, but we're defined by our failure. Right? It's not just that you're going to be reminded of it when you see the empty seat at the table. You're going to be defined. You're going to think, I'm the spouse that let her down. I'm the spouse that let him down. I'm the parent that couldn't come through for my kids. I'm the student that didn't get the job. I'm the employer whose company went under. So it's not just that you're being reminded by your failure, but we, in some way, we are actually able to be defined by our failure. And it's not just I'm the person that failed, but I am a failure. And that's hard. So what do we do with that? What do we do if we're carrying around this much weight and we're entering a season where it's peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and have a holly jolly Christmas? That sounds good. It makes for good music, but I have failure. I have things that I thought would happen. I had things that I wished would happen that didn't happen. So what do we do with that? How do we navigate failure? And so today, I would love to talk to you about that. I would love to talk to you about failure and what we do with that. So here's what I know. You've got failure. You want it to be a good Christmas. And now we've got to figure out what we're going to do with our failure. So what we're doing all month long is we're going to look at four truths, four promises that were made obvious at the first Christmas. When Jesus came to this world over 2,000 years ago, there were these four truths that just became like, wow, that's great. That's the Christmas story. And so we're going to unpack these every week from now until Christmas Eve. And today's truth that I want you to understand, in light of failure, in light of your regret, in light of the empty seats and the bank account and the business and the family and the friends and the parties and everything you're going to be hit with, here's a truth I want you to grasp today. Jesus's success is greater than your failure. That's a big truth. That's a big truth for you to understand. It's like, okay, hold on a second. Jesus, this is where you kind of lose me. What does Jesus have to do with this? I've never seen him. I don't fully understand him. How is someone from 2,000 years ago supposed to help me with a marriage that went down, with a business that went down, with kids that don't show up? How is Jesus supposed to enter that situation? In fact, for some of us, we're so defined by our failures that you've taken a stance that God is good for them, but he's not good for me because I've failed. That works for greeting cards, and the story of Jesus is cute for a little manger scene, and let's tell the nativity, and Linus did a good job, and Charlie Brown, but that's the peanuts. This is the real world. So how is God supposed to care about me when I jacked up my business, my home, myself? Where does that work? And that's what we're going to talk about. Because if you're feeling right now like you're disconnected from God and you're distant from him because of a failure, I want you to see that on the first Christmas, the first people to encounter Jesus outside of Mary and Joseph. Mary had to be there. You can understand that. So Mary's there. The baby's born. Joseph is a good dad. He's there. The first people outside of that, you want to know who they were? They were a group of failures. A group of failures were the first people invited into the success of Jesus. Let me try to define the success of Jesus because it's so broad and so beautiful. The success of Jesus is that God himself would enter our world and live a failure-free life so that failures could look to him. That's kind of how I can describe it to you. It's that Jesus would leave his home, come to our broken, messy, failure place, and live this perfect life so that we could have somewhere to look to for hope. Because you understand, if you place your hope in another person, what are you doing? You're placing your hope in another failure. Another person who has the potential to let you down, to let themselves down. So God sends himself down here as Jesus. And at the first Christmas, failures are the first people to see him, and it's tremendous. So we're going to read their story together. So in Luke chapter 2, we read about that. We're going to have scripture up here on the screen for you to follow along with. But if you have a Bible, I'm in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 8 to you. And we typically stand when we read. We're not going to stand yet. I want us to stand at a different part in the story together. So I want to set it up for you. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And this may sound familiar to you if you've seen Charlie Brown, A Christmas Story. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, we need to pause right there, and here's why. Because it's 2017. And when you think of a shepherd, you think cute, right? I mean, not necessarily, but I do because I have the little people toys. I have a 1.5-year-old. So the shepherds are cute, and they have a smile on, and they're dressed nice, and they look great. And you might have a nativity scene that poses them in that way, and it's like they're there, and the wise men are there, and the animals are there, and it's beautiful, and it's great, and everyone smells good, and we're all good. I have to reshape that image because that's not these guys. This is 2,000 years ago, Jerusalem, Palestine, Middle East. The shepherds were a little different. In fact, the shepherds were not seen as beautiful. They were not seen as people we want to invite to the Christmas party. They were seen as failures. Being a shepherd was not a job you hoped for. It was a job you settled for. It was on the lowest class of occupation. So if you have a kid, you're not hoping, I just hope they grow up to be a great shepherd one day and spend time all by themselves in a field at night with sheep. That would be tremendous. Dads, you don't want your daughters marrying shepherds, okay? So this, I want you to get the picture. That's where they are. They're seen as thieves. They're seen as scoundrels. They are uneducated. Listen to this culturally. Shepherds could not testify in court. One of the occupations in this era where if you're a shepherd, you actually can't testify in court because we just don't trust you. You've jacked up your life so much that if you see a crime, we don't care. Their word means nothing. Could you imagine feeling like a failure every day? When you know the rest of the world and the rest of society, they're going on with their plans and what they have. And here we are surrounded by sheep. And no one will even talk to us because they don't care what we have to say because we're failures. And they don't trust us and they don't invite us and we're failures. So this is the shepherds. This is the image of the people that we're about to read what happens to them. I want you to get where they are. Luke says that they're out in the field at night. Let's use some imagery there. Because I think for many of us, that's exactly where we are. If you would be honest today and you consider the brokenness in your relationships and you consider your business and where you thought it would be and where it is, and you consider your children and you consider your finances and you consider the tragedy you've experienced recently, this year, 10 years ago, you might say, that's where I am, out in the field by night. It's cold, it's lonely, it's dark. No one wants to talk to me. In fact, they shouldn't because I'm a failure. Remember, failure isn't just what we're reminded of. It usually defines us. And so for some of us, we're going to wake up Christmas morning, and that's exactly where we're waking up. There's no presents. There's no tree. There's no family. There's no money. There's nothing. I'm out in the field at night. That's where these guys are. So what happens? It says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. You know why they're terrified? Here's what I think. This is my opinion. I think that if you think you're a failure, and you believe you're a failure, and it's not just you've let down your spouse, and you let down your kids, and you let down your employer or your employees, when you buy into the lie that you're a failure, you associate that with God. So you think, if I failed everyone horizontally, vertically, this thing's jacked up too. And so God's going to look at me as a failure. And if you're in your room, or you're by the tree, or you're out in a field at night and God shows up, you're terrified. Because he's not here to applaud all your good works, to say, great job, and you did it, and the way that marriage went, and the way that business went. And I mean, you're the perfect parent. I mean, I'm here to learn from you. This is great. It's not what you think if you believe you're a failure. He's here to collect. This is it. I mean, this is the end of my story. It's over. We're done here. Chapter closed is done. They're terrified. And they're terrified because God's shown up. No one shows up to failures. The only reason God's here is to kill us. And so they're scared. And what happens next is tremendous. And what happens next is the truth that I want you to see today. Because if you're carrying failure and you're carrying regret and you're trying to have an unforgettable Christmas, those things don't play nice together. All you're going to try to do with your failure is forget Christmas. Let's get to January 1st. Let's get past the parties. Let's get past the family gatherings. Let's get past the, I have to make an excuse to not show up because I don't want to see them again. Let's get past the advertisements because I can't afford any of that stuff. So let's get to January. Let's just forget it. It's not how you want to spend this month. It's not unforgettable. These guys didn't want to just live in that lie that they're failures and no one cares. So God shows up, they're terrified, and God says something tremendous to them. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me so we can read this together. If you're comfortable, you can read out loud. If not, you can listen along. But you're going to know this because Linus said this to Charlie Brown when he said, Charlie Brown, what? Or he said, can I have the meaning of Christmas? Can I have the meaning of Christmas? And Linus says this. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. You may be seated. I love Charlie Brown. I do. So what's happening here? Angels show up to a group of failures, and they invite them to see Jesus. And when you make your holiday parties and you start going through your list, You invite people that are worth inviting. It's not wrong, it's just what it is. In some way, there's some standard. So that means maybe they're family, maybe they're friends. If it's a company party, maybe you performed well enough to be invited. But there's some standard. We all understand that there's worth associated with an invitation. And the angels show up and invite people who have no sense of worth. Their only sense, their only identity is we failed. We had to settle for this. No one talks to us because of this. No one trusts us because of this. I've got no family. I've got no friends. There is no sense of worth here. And the angels show up and say, you guys are going to be the first to see Jesus. You guys are invited into this. Look, there's this Savior. He's born. He's in Bethlehem. It's for you. The success of Jesus coming to this world. This is an infant. He's like an hour old. And he's already changing the rules of how we define worth and value. That's the power of the Christmas story. Jesus is born as a baby, and it's already changing things. It's already turning things upside down. It's like, no, only good people are invited into this. No, all people are invited into this. No, only successful people are invited. No, all people are invited into this. And let me prove it to you. The first group of people we're going to have is failures, lowest on society. And Jesus starts changing the rules on us. The first change that we see is that Jesus' success removes our fear. Right? Well, the first thing the angel said was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why are you afraid? Because I'm a failure and God's here and God's going to kill me. Don't be afraid. We're changing things. It's not based on you anymore. It's based on this baby that's being born. His worth and his success, his value is so great, you shouldn't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid. He removes fear. The next thing that we see happens is that Jesus' success moves our faith. So it removes our fear and it moves our faith. And here's what I mean by that. It's not that you don't believe in God today because you don't have enough faith to believe in God. It's that you have faith, but it's placed somewhere else. Some people say, well, I can't believe the way you do because I don't have enough faith. Not entirely. We all have faith. It's just you've placed it in some other place. So you've placed it in another person, in your business doing well, in retirement, in comfort, in power, in just whatever it is. You have faith. You're believing in something. And for these shepherds and for many of us in this space, you know where our faith is? In our failure. We so believe that we've jacked up life that there's no hope for us. There's no way I'm invited. There's no way I'm getting in. I've ruined that. That's done. And the angels show up and say, you guys, city of Bethlehem, you're invited. Now, the shepherds have to do something in that moment. Angels don't like drag them along, grab their staff. Like, you're coming to Bethlehem as you have to. Some of you were afraid to come to church today because you thought someone would do that. You're like, no, I've been to church. They pushed me down. They dragged me up. You're not going to get pushed or dragged, okay? The shepherds didn't get pushed or dragged. They got invited. Then they had to move their faith. They had to respond. And they do. Don't miss how big a deal this is. Guys that were told, don't enter our city because you're unclean, we don't trust you, you're failures, go into the city. They move out of the place they're living in a field at night, and they go into the city. Could you imagine how that's like? Asking around, anyone here, you hear a baby crying? There's supposed to be a baby born. We're trying to find a baby. And they're talking to people. That's not allowed. You're shepherds, you're unclean. Understand, this is Jewish religious culture. Because they were around animals all the time, they literally thought of them as unclean people. Like, sacrilegiously, you shouldn't get close to me. Ceremonially, you're unclean. So they're getting close to people like, where's the baby? It's like, back away. Like, you can't be here. But their faith was moved by the success of Jesus. They weren't going to buy into the lie anymore that they were failures. There's a new invitation for them. There's new rules. And so they find Jesus. They find Jesus and everything is changed. They go to Bethlehem. And now here's how I know that it's changed. Because when they're leaving Bethlehem, look at what they do. Luke 2:17. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Now, remember what I said about shepherds. Their word is garbage. No one believes them. They don't let them testify about anything. That's how they are. That's how they're defined. We don't trust you. So why are people that are labeled failures and untrustworthy wasting breath telling other people about Jesus? Because that's not who they are anymore. Because they're not going to let some label define them. They've had an encounter with Jesus. They've understood that Jesus changes the rules. It's not just you're valuable because you built a good company, have a good family. No, no, it's none of that. It's because of Jesus' success that you find value and worth, and these guys just start talking to people. And you want to know why I think that they're astonished? I don't know that it's as much about what they're saying, but the fact that they're saying something. Because again, these guys don't care. Like, they had this inner transformation go on. They know who they are now. The people around them are like, why are you talking to me? We don't believe you. And they're amazed that these shepherds have this new sense of identity, this new sense of worth, because that is what Jesus is able to do. So today, and for the Christmas season, who or what is defining you? Come on, who or what is defining you? Where are you finding your identity? What is Christmas looking like for you? As you think 3 weeks from now, as you think when you get in your car after this, as you think tomorrow, how do you feel about yourself? What's going on in your head? Are you reminded of the failure, of the mess, of the failed marriage, of the failed business, of the failed parenting? What is it? Because that is what's defining you. And if you're looking for an unforgettable Christmas and you're looking for this year to be better than last year, you need to lean into the success of Jesus. Now, this sounds great on a page and on a screen. It sounds good for shepherds, but 2017, what about us? Is this for us? Does this translate 2,000 years later? Do you remember what the angel said to the shepherds? I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people. What I love about the word all is all in Greek means all in English, right? If you don't know, the Bible was written in Greek, and when it translates over, it's very easy. It's all. There's no other definitions. All people. Some of us say, well, isn't God only for good people? No, God's for all people. Good people, bad people. Isn't God for successful people? No. All people. Don't think that if you have a successful marriage and a successful business that somehow you don't need God either. We all need God. Your success doesn't disqualify you, and your failure doesn't disqualify you. The problem is we tend to associate disqualified with failure and qualified with success. So we're like, hey, I'm doing good, very qualified. No, you need this too. Hey, God doesn't really want me. I've jacked it up. No, you get this too. It's for all people, all races, all languages, all belief systems. This message reaches in to all of us. And so today, there's not one in this space or one in this world that could say, but it's not for me. So then what do we do then? If this message is here and the angels invited the shepherds and they had to respond, because again, we're not, the welcome team's not going to push you towards me. That's not how we do church. So you're going to respond. You're going to choose to be defined by your failure or to lean into the success of Jesus this year. How do we do that? Because I mean, airfare to Bethlehem, can we? Is that how we do it? Like, we have to go and see what we do? There was a man named John who spent a lot of time with Jesus. He followed Jesus. He was one of his disciples. He was actually one of the only disciples that was visibly there when Jesus was crucified. The rest scattered. They were afraid that we're next. And John was like, well, even if we are, I mean, I'm just closer to it, so I'll stay here and watch what happens. So John was there at the crucifixion. John saw a resurrected Jesus. And interestingly, John took care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, after Jesus ascended. He spent a lot of time with Jesus and Jesus' people. And in his older age, he sat down to write what he saw and experienced. And he wrote about the first Christmas. And he gives us the why of Jesus coming and the how do we respond. He writes in John 1:12, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. As a failure, you know, you feel like you have no rights. The only right you deserve as a failure is the mess you're sitting in. You ever say, I made this mess and I've got to clean the mess? That's you being defined by your failure and thinking, this is my only right. They shouldn't invite me. They shouldn't care this year. So Jesus shows up, and the success of Jesus says, here's a new right for you to carry with you. here is a new right for you. And how do we respond? Well, we believe in Jesus and we accept him. In context of what we're talking about, you start leaning more into the success of Jesus than the failure of Keith. You start saying, I'm going to accept that Jesus came, Jesus lived a failure-free life, Jesus lived a perfect life, so that when I fail and when I mess up and when, if you use this word, I sin, I break God's heart, I break the hearts of the people around me, I'm going to believe and accept Jesus. I'm going to be defined by him because his success is so much greater than my failure. And today, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Because it's for all of us. We've got to respond. You can't just assume the response. You can't just grab John 1:12. You can't grab the second half without understanding. But to all who believe, we've got to do something there. Accept, we've got to do something there. Okay, I am a child of God. That is my new identity. So here's how we're going to take our next step. Here's what I want us to do. I want you to be honest today. As church, you should be honest. Right? If there's one place we could be honest, let's be honest here. Let me break the ice a little bit. You're in a room filled with jacked up, messed up people, okay? I know I may not know you. It's like, why would he say that about me? I know that about you because you're a person, because I'm a person. And so there's not one of us sitting in this chair that says, nope, never failed, never did anything wrong, zero regret. I have lived every moment of my life perfectly. So let's clear the air there. So you're surrounded by jacked up, messed up people. But for some in this space, you're defined by the jacked up, messed up story. Man, as you're thinking about Christmas and you're thinking about the holidays, you're thinking about the failure. It's your definition. And it's not like you're a Christian and this stops. I've been struggling with thoughts of failure lately. Am I doing a good job as a father, as a husband? Am I doing good as a pastor? I can wake up tomorrow morning and feel like a failure. So this keeps coming in. And in that moment, we've got to have a hope. We've got to have a place that we look to. And so today, December 3rd, if you want to take a step towards an unforgettable Christmas, I believe it starts with honesty. And it starts with us saying, you know what? I'm a failure. I have failed. And it's not just I'm reminded of it. Way too often, I'm defined by it. But today, December 3rd, I'm taking a step towards the success of Jesus. I'm invited into this. You're invited into this. And today, I'm taking a step there. And when I get in my car and I hear a song about hope, joy, and peace, I'm going to know I can have that too because of Jesus. And when I see a movie about people getting along and they're all gathering on the table and you know there's going to be no one at your table, you're still defined by the success of Jesus. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like for you to be honest. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes because I'm going to get ready to pray with you. But as I pray, I want you to connect with God in some way. I want this to not just be an hour where you came to church, but an hour where you said, you know what, today the failure, it stays here. Today, when I'm reminded by it, I'm going to lean into the success of Jesus. So I'm going to say a prayer with you. And I would love to pray with those of us who say, yep, I get defined by failure way too often, and Christmas makes it even harder. So if that's where you're landing today, while I pray, I want you to connect with God, and I want you to do this, and this is for you. I want you to throw your hand up to God. Just say, God, here's my failure. I'm giving it to you. I don't want to carry it anymore. I wanted to be defined by the success of Jesus. And I know it seems silly and it's like, is that really going to do something? I don't know. For me, I found that it does. It's like when you take that physical step towards doing something, it just is like that weight is released. So I can't not give you a chance to release your weight today. So you're going to raise your hand. Maybe you're just going to stand up. Here I am, God. It's just this done. I'm done with carrying this. And I believe something's going to transform you. However you want to respond, those of us who say I lean into failure too often, I'm going to pray. You raise your hand, you stand up. Let's find freedom today. Father, here we are. Way too often defined by our failure. Christmas doesn't make it easier. We're reminded of how we've let others down, you down, and ourselves down. Today, God, we take this step towards you. We lean into the success of Jesus today. We don't want to be defined any longer by our failure. We know this doesn't change what we've done, but it changes how we feel about what we've done. We start to live out our new life the way those shepherds did, how they wouldn't be labeled any longer as a failure. We're going to live out Jesus, his success. Father, Christmas reminds us of our failures, but the Christmas story redefines us. And today we're being redefined. I thank you for those in this space. Raise their hands and stand up. Connect with you now that are looking for the weight to be taken. Father, take the weight. We don't want to be out in the field at night any longer. We don't want to be marked by loneliness. We just want to be marked by the success of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Amen. Man, I'm excited for you. Because December 3rd, 2017 is you taking a step towards the success of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you can say, I'm not living for him and this is all new, there's a gray card in the chair in front of you that says step on it. And there's a spot on the back that says discover Jesus. And if you want to take a minute to fill that out and give it to me before you leave, it lets me connect with you this week about what it means to follow Jesus and start living out his success over your failure. Now, here's the problem, because that was good. Feel good, we're in church. We feel great. You're going to get in the car and you're instantly going to remember your regret. It's either going to be your voice or the voice of the person you hurt coming in saying, you think that mattered? Or you raised your hand, feel good? You're going to be reminded of your regret. It's Christmas time. It's going to happen. So I have a gift for you, because I want you to be reminded of your new identity. I want you to be reminded of the success of Jesus. So we are going to have up on our social media feed later today a wallpaper for you to download and put as your phone wallpaper. We got a picture of it now. It's the verse we read. It's going to look better on your phone. This is blown up for desktop. But I already have it as mine. I've been carrying it around for a while now because I need to be reminded. This is who I am now. It's not failed father, failed husband, failed pastor, failed employer, failed employee, whatever yours is. It's that. So later today on our social media, Facebook or Instagram story, we're going to throw it up. Go in there, download it, put it as your wallpaper. So that way you have a tangible reminder that it's the success of Jesus that is greater than my failure this season. This is our first step towards an unforgettable Christmas. And next week, we're going to talk about perfection. So if you're like, this doesn't work because I've burnt things, I've ruined things. I mean, there's so much imperfection surrounding my Christmas story. You got to come back next week to hear about how God meets us in our imperfect situations. It's tremendous. Thank you guys for being here today. If it's your first or second time here, make sure you fill out one of these Connect cards. Give it to me or one of our welcome team members. We have a gift to give you. You guys have a great December 3rd. Enjoy all the holiday music and movies this week, and I'll see you back here next week. Have a great day, guys.